Okay, let's turn to Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. Can you read? Is there light? I think we should have lights in the hall. Yeah. I can't see your faces. Yeah, okay. Let's not, let the light not be so dim that we are able to sleep this morning, right? Okay, let's stand for a moment and let's read these verses together. Yeah. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. Okay, let's read it together. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Okay, let's say that, you know, get into the mood of the verse. Let's say it, come on. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. That's beautiful. Let's continue. Let your gentleness be known to all men. Let's read, yeah. The Lord is at hand. Let's say this loudly. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. And thank you for your love for us. That you are the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Speak to us, Lord. Minister to us. We worship you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so it's good to be back. We really had a good convention. Thank you for all your prayers. I could sense them. So, you know, it's good to pray for one another, right? And I want to thank all the people who stood in the gap. Pastor Benny, Pastor Vijay, Milan, Roy, all of you, okay? If I've not said your name, it includes you, okay? Okay, so I spoke with Pastor Shibeli, and he's probably coming October 11 to 15. So there could be a conference here. I'm giving you the dates so that you can plan your leave. Yeah, approximate dates are October 11 to 15. A very interesting thing happened, you know, when we go there, we have to stay. They make the stay arrangements. I'm very fearful of staying with somebody because I snore. And we were 8 of us in a large hall like this with camp beds. And I thought I snore a lot. And I realized that I was the softest snorer. So in the night, there was all kinds of snoring, from lions roaring to tigers purring, all kinds. At one point, it got so bad that Pastor Chris one day went and bought earplugs. So the following nights, we put earplugs and slept. So there were 6 Indians and 2 foreigners. So one foreigner pastor, I told him, Pastor Virgil, I wrote him a message. Thank you for bearing with our snoring symphony. He said, don't worry, we will practice and next year we'll go to level 2. So that was an interesting thing. And so today, the theme of the conference was Rejoice in the Lord Always. And it's very interesting that When I got to know about the theme, I disagreed with the theme. There was another pastor also in the conference, Pastor Jack Wheatley. He also disagreed with the theme. And the reason that perhaps we all disagreed with the theme is because in our respective churches there was affliction, right? There was affliction, and I was thinking, how can I rejoice when there's affliction? And so we are going to look into this theme as to what the Bible says about it. Rejoice in the Lord always. In our first point, we need to see is we need to have the right perspective to the Christian life. And what is perspective? Perspective is how I look at life. Either I look at it from my point of view, or I look at it from God's point of view. Perspective. And that's very important. And when you look at the letter of Philippians, it's a letter. It is written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi, approximately 63 AD, when in his first imprisonment. So Paul is imprisoned for approximately 2 years, Roman imprisonment, and he has been a Christian for approximately 30 years. And after this point, 6 to 7 years later, the Bible says he's going to die. And this church was planted about 52 AD by Paul on his second missionary journey. And if you read the book of Acts chapter 16, it talks about how a man from Macedonia calls him. He goes there to Philippi. Lydia is one of the first converts. And then you have the Philippian jailer who also gets saved. And that's how the church begins. And we see in Acts 20, 1 to 6, he also visited Philippi a couple of years later in 57 AD at the close of the third missionary journey. And what is interesting is when you read the book of Philippians, we must understand his situations. And this is what it is. Paul is in jail. There's a slight feedback here, please. Suman, yeah. Like a hiss, yeah. Paul is in jail. So if you read Philippians 1, 7, he says, just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, in as much as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. And he also says in verse 13, so that it has become evident to the whole palace and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And perspective is really very important, because in 1:21 he says this, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And when he says die, he means physical death. Now that perspective is very important, because only the Bible and only the born-again Christian can have the right perspective, because the Bible talks about life on earth and also life after the life on earth is over. The unsaved person cannot have this perspective. So Paul is saying, for me to live is Christ. I want to go and be with the Lord, right? And if I die, it's great. I'm going to be in heaven. But for me to live is Christ. So perspective is very important, because in the perspective we see, it goes beyond life on earth into the very eternal. This is very important for us to understand this morning. As sons and daughters of the Most High God, that we are not on earth here forever. Isn't that beautiful? We are not on earth forever. In as much as you want to believe that it is true, it is not true. One day life on earth will be over, and we will be in heaven with our Lord. Amen? And that was Paul's perspective. He is an older man, he's almost at the end of his life, and he is saying, he is in the jail, he is not focusing on the situations, and he is saying, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Right? So, that's what we see. Secondly, what do we see is, when we come to Philippians 4:4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. It's very interesting to note that verse. It says, rejoice in the Lord. It doesn't say, rejoice when you get the salary increase. Rejoice when you have good health. Rejoice when you get a blessing, or when you get married, or when you get a new home or a new car. It's not saying that. It's saying what? It's saying, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. And what do we see here? We see here, he is talking about a position. Now, this is very important in our lives. That much of born-again Christianity in general, irrespective of denomination, focuses on experience. Experiencing God. Like, in as much as I love worship music and praise music, there is a great emphasis sometimes in different worship movements, praise movements, to worship God, to praise God, and all that is good. But sometimes the focus is on the experience, and the focus is on the emotion. But what happens when you leave the auditorium or you leave the church and you go back home? What remains? Are we understanding? So much of Christianity understands that. I want to experience the love of God. I want to experience the joy of God. I want to experience the peace of God. And all that is fine. But it is only when you come to the Bible that God explains to us our position. And position, understanding of our position is extremely important and is the foundation for all Christian experience. And what is our position today? What is our position today? It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. What is the position which God has given us in the Bible? This is the position that the gospel message says that 2,000 years ago, Jesus was incarnated and he was a man and he was without sin and he was tested at all points and he became a victim. He was unjustly crucified. And when he died on the cross, God took all our sins, past, present, and future, of the whole human race, and he put it on him. And he was unjustly killed in our place, and his blood was shed in our place. And then he was buried, and on the third day he rose again. Isn't that beautiful? And then the gospel message was, there was an offer made to you. And the moment you accepted Jesus as your Savior, you and I, we accepted Jesus as our Savior, what happened was, we were instantaneously translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His Son, Colossians 1, 13, 14. Instantaneously, we were adopted, we were sealed, we became the sons of God, we became the daughters of God, we were totally forgiven. Instantaneously, our names were written in heaven. Instantaneously, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit, right? And instantaneously, all these things happened when you and I accepted Jesus as our Savior. So the salvation which God has given us is a complete salvation. It is a complete package. You and I, we don't need anything more than that. Because in Christ, everything is available to every born-again Christian. Isn't that beautiful? And the same Jesus which Paul believed in is the same Jesus that you and I believe in. The same Holy Spirit who lived in Paul is also the same Holy Spirit who lives in you and me. That is our position. That is a personal relationship given to each one of us, totally by grace at a point in time. Totally by grace. And God will never take that gift back. Right? That is a what? Position. So this relationship with Jesus, from the moment you believe till the moment we die or we are raptured, cannot be touched by situations, cannot be touched by circumstances, cannot be touched by change of weather, cannot be touched with more money, less money, cannot be touched by change of government, cannot be touched by anything. It is beyond everything. Right? And what we call in theology, in the sphere of, and what I mean by that is, just like the fish lives in the water and the birds fly in the air and we live on the land, there is a sphere or there is a context which is in Christ, which all these things cannot touch. Amen? Isn't that incredible? This was done purely by grace. This was God's gracious heart towards each one of us. And it has been given to each one of us completely and perfectly the moment we have believed and accepted Him as our Savior. Right? And this will never stop. This can never be destroyed. And this can never be taken away. And God has no undo button once you say, I believe in you. No undo button. Right? We are His forever. Right? So Paul is in the jail. And what is he saying? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. Because he understood that he was not in the jail because of his own faults or mistakes. He was in the jail because of the perfect plan of God. And I was thinking today that you and I, we are in the perfect plan of God. God has a perfect plan. And it includes our obedience, it includes our disobedience, it includes what others do to us, whether good or bad. It includes all those parameters. And yet in all those parameters, God's plan is perfect. Isn't that incredible? That's incredible. And even when we think like, if he's the apostle of grace, and why should he be in the jail? He should be out preaching the gospel. That was God's perfect plan for that season of his life and for that situation of his life. And what is he saying to us? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. So this is very important for us to understand. And when we understand our position, it is our position which determines our experience and not vice versa. What is it? Let me say it again. Our position determines our experience and not vice versa, right? And so what is Paul experiencing? He's experiencing something deep in his heart. He is experiencing a connection with Jesus, which cannot be touched. The outward situations cannot touch what he is experiencing today. You know, today you and I could be in a very difficult situation, maybe in a very unfavorable situation. But this connection we have, and because of this connection, the joy that we can have in our heart cannot be touched. Those situations, circumstances cannot touch that joy. Isn't that incredible? And he is experiencing that joy. And that is because he has understood his position in Christ. Now, as we come here, once we understand this, the right perspective, that is God's point of view about our lives, secondly, understanding our position in Christ, then what do we come to? Then we come to experiential truth, right? Experiential truth, where God wants me to experience Him in a personal way. He wants me to experience what He has promised me, right? And we see here in verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. Now, this is important for us to understand. This is a very important truth for us to understand. That in as much as we make plans for our lives and we think about our future, we must take into consideration that the Lord can come anytime, that the rapture can happen anytime. So if you go back to these verses in Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Isn't that beautiful? Our citizenship is in heaven. I went to America, and American citizenship is something which most Indians want, which I don't want. I love to be, I like my own country. But there's a greater citizenship. The citizenship is in heaven. That's our citizenship. We have a passport with that citizenship and visa which nobody can touch. And you know what's the good news? One day, he will come and he will transform our bodies. The old sin nature will be removed. And we will be like him. Isn't that incredible? And so in Philippians 4:5, he's saying the Lord is at hand. We did communion today. You do it until the Lord comes. When is the Lord coming? When is the Lord coming? He can come anytime. Isn't that beautiful? He can come anytime. That is why Paul is saying, therefore, let your gentleness be known to all men. Because the Lord is coming, Paul is saying, you be gentle to one another. Right? And that word gentleness is a beautiful word in the Greek. And what it means is going beyond whatever standard, going beyond, just being gracious, being kind, being loving, be known to all men. Then we see, so the first thing is, the first experiential truth is rejoice. It's a present imperative. God is commanding us, I want you to rejoice. Correct? It would be a good thing for individuals to learn this beautiful truth of learning to rejoice in the Lord. Get up in the morning and say, I rejoice in you, God. Amen? Or just read the verse loudly, I rejoice in you, Lord. Amen? It would be good for families to say, Lord, we want to rejoice in you. For children to say, we want to rejoice in you. At your workplace, maybe you go to a quiet place or you close the door in your cubicle and you say, Lord, I rejoice in you. In the church, right? What do we say? We rejoice in you. It's a present imperative. God commands us to constantly what? Rejoice. Rejoice. Then we see in verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is a very beautiful truth. And because of our position, we have this privilege. And what is this privilege? Prayer. Prayer is a privilege. We have a personal relationship, but we also have this privilege to pray. And praying is simply asking God for something. Right? You know, many times, all of us, including me, we talk much about our situation, but we never pray much about our situation, right? So let's stop talking and ask God, right? And there are four words used here. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. That word prayer in the Greek is a general word for prayer. It includes praying, it includes adoration, it includes worship. You know, when we get into the presence of God, we're not getting into the presence of God and saying, God, I want this, I want that. It would seem disrespectful. It would seem, treating God like an ATM machine, right? But so the first aspect of prayer is we enter into his presence and we recognize him for who he is. We adore him. We worship him. We are praying. And the second word is supplication. And that word supplication talks in the Greek about asking God for specific things. That word supplication in the Greek could mean asking God for something or any human for something. So asking God for specific things with thanksgiving. That's important. You know, thanksgiving talks about this aspect of remembering what God has done in the past and thanking him for that. Right? You know, it is so unique that we forget what God has done so easily and we remind him of what he has not yet done so quickly. Right? Have you ever experienced that? I've experienced that all the time. Right? God, I want this. I've been praying for this. Can't you get it? Right? Hey, what about the five different things I did today? Right? What? Giving? What? Thanks. Give thanks. If you're alive today, give thanks. If you have good health, give thanks. Giving thanks for your salvation. Giving thanks for the body of Christ. Giving thanks for the Bible. Giving thanks for whatever God does. The tea in the morning, the coffee, the breakfast, the lunch, the bed you sleep in, the house, the children, the bank balance, the car, the motorcycle, the phone, whatever. Give what? Thanks. Right? And then it says, let your requests be made known to God. And that talks about asking. That's another word. It's asking specific things. And you know what happens? Once you do that, you know what God says? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You will experience the peace of God. It will guard your heart and your minds through Christ Jesus. It is a supernatural peace. It is an experiential peace. You can relax. You can breathe today. Amen? Are you worried about the future? Be anxious for nothing. King James says, be careful for nothing. Are you worried about what will happen? Be anxious for nothing. Are you worried that the money will run out? Be anxious for nothing. What will happen to your children's future? Be anxious for nothing. Right? And the peace of God, keep your hearts and minds to Christ Jesus. Right? So the second aspect is prayer, which leads to the peace of God. And that word, let your requests be made known, the tense is again present imperative. God is commanding us to give our anxieties to Him. Isn't that incredible? God is not saying, okay, please give your... No, God is saying, I want you to give your anxieties to me. I want you to give your worries to me. I want you to give whatever is bothering you, you give it to me. Right? And His peace floods our minds and our hearts. Then the third thing we come to is our thinking. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The King James says, think on these things. That word think in the Greek is the word logizomai, which Pastor Benny shared. And it means to charge to an account or to credit to an account. Once we have given our worries to God, then the mind should not be left empty. I said this in Baltimore. Indian meditation teaches emptying your mind. But Christian meditation teaches filling your mind with the right things. Right? So, what am I thinking about? And the first thing is whatever is true. What is truth? Or what is true? It is whatever is in the Bible. We know the true God. Right? We know what is an idol. Whether physical or spiritual. So whatever is true. Right? Whatever is noble or honorable. Whatever is just. That which is right in the eyes of God. Whatever is pure. Which is pure freedom from defilement or impurities. Whatever is lovely, which is acceptable. Whatever is of good report, which is well spoken of good report. If there's any virtue and there's any praise, think about these things. The question we have to ask ourselves is, what am I thinking right now? If you're a woman, are you thinking, I got to go back home and cook, right? Or what are you thinking, like after the service ends, what am I going to do? What are we thinking? The mind is a very beautiful gift from God, and it's a very beautiful thing. But you and I, we have to decide what we think. And the things that we think first from the Bible are first towards ourselves. We must think the thoughts of God towards ourselves, that God loves me, God has forgiven me, God is gracious to me, God is for me, God has justified me, I am a new creation. And when I am able to think that way towards myself, then the Bible also says that I will also be able to think that way towards others. Right? Today, when we look at each other, we are aware of each one's faults and weaknesses. But we make it a decision to look at each other in the new creation. Isn't that great? Right? We will not remember the wrongs, we will not remember the faults or the weaknesses, but we will remember the new creation. The husband looks at his wife, what does he say? Beautiful woman, no. New creation. The wife looks at the husband, new creation, new creation. It may not be your reality, but the Bible is saying, that's what Paul is saying, whatever is right, whatever you think, you meditate on these things. Right? You meditate on these things. Meditation, what we think, is extremely important. Extremely important. Right? Before an action happens, a thought must happen. Before murder can happen, there should be anger in the heart and in the mind. Correct? Before I can say a bad thing about somebody, there should be a bad thought about somebody. And what does 1 Corinthians 13 say? Love thinks no evil. It makes a decision not to think evil about your own self or about somebody else, right? So a good mindset, a good meditation is beautiful. God gives it to us. We are thinking the right things. And then the next thing which happens is the things, verse 9, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you, right? Paul is saying, whatever you saw in my life as an example, what you learned from me, what you received from me, what you heard through my messages and saw in me, these do. But the Greek word is the word these practice. It's as a lifestyle. And the God of peace will be with you. You know, today, one of the things which we can have is the experiential presence of God. And the experiential presence of God can happen when we simply obey the word of God. The omnipresence of God is always with us, whether we obey or not. But the experiential presence of God happens when you and I take the Bible seriously and we obey God. And you know what happens? The God of peace is with us. Isn't that beautiful? That is an incredible place to be in the Christian life, that the presence of God is with me. Isn't that beautiful? The presence of God is with me. Why? Because I'm living in simple obedience. Simple obedience. The presence of God is with me. Now, so this is experiential truth, and this is our privilege, and this is something which is given to us. This is something which is given to us. Now, in conclusion, for all these four things to happen, to rejoice, what is the next one? Come on, let's see if you're awake. Rejoice, then prayer, the third thing, think or meditate, and the fourth thing, practice or obedience. You know, for all those four things to happen, you know what needs to happen? You and I, we need to make a choice. Now that's an important one. I can't choose for you, you can't choose for me. The husband can't choose for the wife, the wife can't choose for the husband. The parents can't choose for the children can't choose for the parents. Each person has to make their own choice. And if after all this, in my experience, I still can't rejoice, I can't pray, I can't think the right things, and I'm not able to obey God, then it is simply because of my own choice. It is not because God is not for me and God doesn't love me. Are we understanding? So if you and I, we are miserable today, if we are living in self-pity, if we are upset with God or bitter with God, it's fine. These emotions are there. Unbelief, disobedience, it's fine. All that is not because there's a problem with God. All that is because you and I, we have made a contrary choice. Are we understanding? So we just have to make the choice. Rejoice in the Lord, pray, think the right things, and what? We practice. And what happens? We enjoy the Christian walk, right? You know, I was talking to Pastor Melvin and we had a good conversation, and he said, we were talking about various issues, and he said this beautiful thing, you know, why can't we just learn to enjoy God? Why can't we just, as pastors, why can't we just learn to read the Bible and enjoy God and not worry so much about a message and this and that? And that really spoke to me, right? Right? Today, you and I, we can enjoy God and nobody can interfere in that. Do you know that? Nobody can interfere, right? Because Romans 8 said, not even any created thing or creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord, right? Isn't that incredible today? So in closing today, there is joy with respect to situation. If you read the Bible, joy is always there where sorrow is. So Pastor Sam Muhima said, joy and sorrow are a marriage. They will be there as long as we are on the earth. When we go to heaven, sorrow will be removed forever, right? So always in the Bible, joy is always contrasted in the background of sorrow. But the joy is in the Lord. Then we see joy with respect to anxiety. What takes away our joy can be worry, right? Worrying, needless worrying. Don't worry, right? Give it to God. Take away the worry. The third thing which takes away our joy is wrong thinking. Now, this is very important. Wrong thinking. Wrong thinking. If you think incorrectly, you will speak incorrectly, and your actions will be incorrect. If you think correctly through the Bible, you will speak correctly, and your actions will be correct. That is why we need mind renewal. That is why we need to come to church. That's why we need to read our Bibles every day. We come to Bible school to for the renewal of the mind. Not for a degree, for the renewal of the mind. And the last thing is, there is joy with respect to obedience. And we simply obey the word of God. God will give you joy. You know, it may be possible that sometimes, maybe others are not obeying. It's okay. You know, God will simply say, are you obeying? You know, sometimes we tell God, everybody else is not obeying, why should I obey? Everybody else is not answering the call of God, why should I? Right? We give that argument. Right? Lord, we want quorum here. Democracy. God is saying it's not democracy. It's individual. Right? I am speaking to you. You are my son. You are my daughter. I am speaking to you. This is my word. I have taught you. Are you simply willing to obey it? And if I obey it, I have joy and I have the presence of God with me. So let's be encouraged today. Really encouraged, and I'm deeply encouraged going to the convention, that being a Christian is the most beautiful thing, because of the God we believe in, because of the God who died for us on a cross, and because of his graciousness towards us. And being a Christian, I mean, you and I being Christians, we are the only people, for us, where good situation and bad situations don't matter. Because whether the situation is good or the situation is bad, all the situations are in the hands of our God. Amen? Are we understanding? This is very important. Religions in the world, they try to make God happy with offerings, and they try to keep their life happy by keeping God happy. But in Jesus, in the Christian faith, you and I cannot make God happy. God sent the Son. And what the Son did on the cross made him happy forever. Are we understanding? Right? Right? And our life now is no more about happy situations or, you know, or favorable situations. It's about understanding that God is in control of our lives. And if it's a good situation, praise the Lord. And if it is a bad situation, praise the Lord. Because we are not looking to the situation to praise the Lord. We are looking to Him and what he did on the cross. And so we can all say, and let's say it loudly, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Your grace, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. We worship you today. We praise you today. You know everything about us, Lord. There's nothing in our lives that you don't know. Every difficulty, every sin, every weakness, everything you know, Lord. Yet you love us, you care for us. We believe that your plan is perfect, Lord. Help us to rejoice in you. Help us to be people who pray to you, individually, as families, as a church. Help us to be people who think the right things, meditating on it, meditating on your word. Help us to be people who obey you, Lord, in simple faith. Thank you for your grace this morning, Lord. Thank you. Pray for people who are not here. Pray for healing for Bindu, for Pastor Brian, all those who are not well in the body of Christ. Our elderly people here, for Uncle Laurie, Auntie Maggie, my dad and mom, Auntie Subhadra here, Sunil's mom here, whoever, Lord, just good health for our older people. And thank you for speaking to us, Lord. Thank you for being our God. Continue to minister to us, Lord. We worship you, Father. We thank you. We worship you. In Jesus' name.